The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's our second consecutive day of songs that you just couldn't record anymore. We had Sheena Easton's 9 to 5 morning train yesterday. There's Tammy Wynette, Mike, and Stand By Your Man, 1965.
All I can think is Hillary. I'm not some Stand By Your Man woman.
That's right. Making cookies. That's right.
No, she's not. And no, that's not. But that is not as good as I ain't no's ways tired.
That is a
remember the speech she gave at the podium at the pulpit?
I do.
It adapted that weird
Strange, that odd thing. Well, I tell you what, there every once in a while you put somebody up in front of a black crowd and something weird happens to them dialectically. It even happened to Barack Obama. He got blacker in front of a black crowd.
I don't know.
Anyway, before I go further into that rabbit hole, yes. Tammy Wynette's birthday. Tammy Wynette would have been 79 today, passed away back in 98. So the great Tammy Wynette. So,
All right.
Can I do something really fast off this last gentleman? And I love calls and I love challenging calls, and that's great. Here is the juror. Here is Brandon Mitchell. Yes, it was the MLK big march on the anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, but there he is on a social media photograph wearing a Get Your Knee Off Our Necks t-shirt, a BLM t-shirt, an event at which George Floyd's family was there. It dripped with police hatred. And when asked about these things, here is juror Brandon Mitchell. Again, a juror whose one job is to deliver a fair verdict. See if this sounds like somebody interested in weighing the facts and the evidence.
We weren't watching the news, so we don't know what was going on. We were really just locked in on the case. And then with so much stress coming from the case, I mean, those things are so secondary. His legacy is now cemented in history.
Okay.
It's now become so much bigger than him as an individual. He's now become almost, he's become a legacy. And it's a legacy that will forever be here, and it's forever going to, it will hopefully create some change within society.
A legacy and change and society. I'm sorry, is this an Al Sharpton speech, or is it what a juror sounds like when being interviewed about the facts of the case and weighing them fairly? Derek Chauvin should be released from prison today. Not found universally completely innocent of all charges, but given the opportunity for a fair trial he did not receive. Who's with me?
Well, that would be horrible to release Derek Chauvin today just because I meet those words with a sense of dread. Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you some truths to all of this, because first of all, it is a fact that Derek Chauvin was entitled to a fair trial. Mm-hmm. It is a fact that he is entitled to an impartial jury. It's apparently a fact that this juror lied under oath. It isn't just the way he represented himself. He took an oath and told under oath those attorneys and the court that he did not participate in a George Floyd rally. Now, you could say, well, I mean, maybe he's trying to split hairs and say it was a Martin Luther King Jr. rally. But if George Floyd's family is speaking and he's wearing a T-shirt saying, get your knee off of our necks, and an image of George Floyd, that is most definitely, it seems to me, juror misconduct. And Houston, we have a problem.
Here's the questionnaire. I went looking for the juror questionnaire. It's 16 pages, and there's a lot of stuff on there.
Right.
Number one, on this subject, did you or someone close to you participate in any of the demonstrations or marches against police brutality that took place in Minneapolis after George Floyd's death? If that's a no, okay, I take him at his word. Here's the other one. Other than what you've already described above, have you or anyone close to you participated in protests about police use of force or police brutality. Now, you can dance on the head of a pin all day and say, I'm just at the Dr. King, I have a dream anniversary. But when you're festooned with a get your knee off our necks t-shirt, a BLM t-shirt, and you know, hanging out and hearing the words of George Floyd's grieving family, and you get to go to that rally, of course you do. That's fine. That's part of your rights as an American. But that is absolutely something that places you in a situation where you should have answered truthfully on the juror questionnaire, and that would have bounced him from the jury in a Minneapolis minute.
It sounds like, but you know, I mean, in a normal time, this would be a grounds for overturning the conviction and and ordering a new trial. There's nothing normal about any of this. You know, let's look at the actions of the juror, incidentally. He made the decision to go public. He wanted to go on ABC Good Morning America. He doesn't go public. This may never get out. I think, you know, so he's
well, making... I don't know, because it was an uncle who posted the photograph. His uncle, Travis Mitchell, it's just a very big, happy photograph. And again, other than the trial, there's nothing. It's three really happy-looking guys at the march in D.C., and here it is, the next generation being socially active, representing in D.C., my son Marzell, my brother Maurice Johnson, and my nephew Brandon Mitchell.
Yeah, but that's only after he went public. I mean, what I'm saying is he made a decision. These jurors were secret. These jurors have been protected. Their identity has been protected unless they opt out of that, unless they choose to go on ABC Good Morning America, right? I mean, the uncle posted the picture after he went on with Robin Roberts, right?
No, the picture was posted right after the march in August of 2020. But you still have a point. You have a point.
Nobody said, this is my nephew, the juror on the Derek Chauvin case.
We would not know who Brandon Mitchell was had he not identified himself as
So that goes into it as well. But again, I have nothing but a sense of dread over this, Mark, and let me tell you why. There are millions and millions and millions of people all over the world who took a gut punch over George Floyd's death. And we should never minimize what that act did to the country and to the world. This became a worldwide movement. And I'm not going to relitigate it and go into George Floyd's history and all that. That cop's knee on that man's neck for 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes, as it turned out, created anguish. And I try so hard. I'm the whitest guy in the world. I have no idea what it's like to spend a day in a black man's shoes. No idea. But I try real hard to appreciate and recognize the tears, the pain, the horror that videotape moment caused. Now, do I think that's the way most police encounters go? Absolutely not. Do I believe 99% of cops are good and honorable and decent and brave? You better believe it. But the pain, Mark, if Derek Chauvin gets released, as you're calling for, and I get it, if this thing gets all up unended, you know what we're going to go through again as a country? You recognize how much pain that's going to cause?
So the alternative is we let an unfit juror just go. And we we let an unfair trial just go. Because we're concerned about people's pain and anguish, and we're concerned about rioting.
No, I'm not trying, but don't minimize that. I mean, that's...
not at all. Not at all.
You're right. He's entitled to a fair... And again, that questionnaire you found, and I heard this last night from a guest we're going to try to get on the show today. I love this prosecutor who's always on with Tucker, a Francie... forget her last name, Hawks or something.
The red-haired lady. Yeah,
she's so sharp. And
Hakes, H-A-K-E-S.
Francie Hakes. Yes, we're going to try to get her. But she said last night that questionnaire is under oath. He lied under oath. He didn't just deceive. He lied under oath. That is. In fact, she said there are sanctions against somebody who does that. He could be penalized and face prosecution.
And you know what the questionnaire also had? Let's not trip over this. He can say, listen, I wasn't really technically at a BLM rally. Blah, blah, blah. He said, have you or anyone close to you been to something like this, a BLM thing, a police violence thing? So nobody, and listen, God bless them. They get to go to Washington. They get to wear BLM t-shirts. That's fine. You're going to tell me that nobody in his circle of close associates was in Minneapolis protesting anything? Okay.
The trial was all about a police officer's knee on somebody's neck for 9.5 minutes. If you've got a T-shirt on at a rally, say, get your knee off our necks, again, that's a problem.
I think he's plugged in.
I think there's an issue here. Now, let me go to a political point that you raised earlier today about Liz. I love this debate about Liz Cheney and what it means, what it represents, because I got a funny feeling here. I've got a queasy feeling that she might survive. I could be wrong.
The establishment always has a card up its sleeve. Absolutely.
You better believe they do. Mm-hmm. And your Kevin McCarthy and the rest of them are kind of up against that machine. But I want to make a point about, because they're all watching this because they're saying this is what the today's Republican Party is going to look like. And your monologue this morning about the fealty to Trump and how we're portrayed as just blindly following him.
That's it.
Little known fact about at least Stefanik, who is mentioned as Liz Cheney's successor in the Republican leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Cheney voted in line with Donald Trump 92.9% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Elise Stefanik, according to Byron York, voted in line with Trump 77.7% of the time.
You know why?
So
here's why. The numbers matter. Early on, her ascendancy, her first election there in New York, was as a kind of a New York Republican kind of center-right.
Right.
Trump made her more conservative. Trump turned her into a stronger conservative.
I look at those numbers as a defense of the charge, the scurrilous smear that we're all just blindly with toadies and we've got to be 100% with Trump. At least Stefanik, whatever her evolution, has not been 100% with Trump.
Exactly,
so be
right.
It. She
and
thinks for herself.
I'm tired of people giving me Liz Cheney's conservative past. The moment she decided to jump into the cauldron of Trump hatred, we're done. That's it. Goodbye.
Exactly.
You are no longer a fit. That is a decision she made, and decisions have consequences.
And speaking of Byron York, he raises a great question in his column. What's Liz Cheney's endgame? What's she trying to do here, Mark?
Tell you what, if you know what it might be, I swear to God, I've just seen it with this Michael Wood in this Texas 06. These Trump haters think that half the party is coming their way. God, how many times do we have to hit them in the head with a brick at the ballot box to show them that it's not true? She may be running for president. That may be it. She may be running for president.
There's another agenda here with her, because she doesn't need to do this, and she's not telling the truth. There's nothing. Nobody's going around asking you, hey, tell us more about Trump.
No.
You know, I mean, but she's doing this. There is an end game. And finally, final question this morning. Will you tell me why in God's name this miserable human being, this despicable, disgusting, racist woman who was pulled over by the cop as exposed by the Bill Malugan, this new Fox News reporter out of L.A., why has she not been identified yet?
Honestly, because I looked, she's blurred out on the video. I asked toward the end of yesterday's show, is she black? And it turns out she is. Now, why does this matter? Inherently, things like that don't matter at all. But she was, so you're just a Mexican racist, calling the LAPD.
You're always going to be a Mexican.
You'll never be white. All you want to be is white.
You're a murderer.
I said, this sounds like an odd gripe from somebody of another minority looking at somebody of another minority and saying, you know, we should be together against the white man and you'll never be white, et cetera, et cetera. And you're a Mexican racist. Now, your question is perfect. 30 seconds. She's being protected because she's part of a protected class. White racists get dragged. Their addresses wind up online.
I'm looking at the story right now. A 35-year-old California woman is reportedly facing hate crime charges after allegedly harassing Amazon delivery driver.
Bill Malugan,
Julie Warland is accused, blah, blah, blah. So they identify somebody who is despicable towards an Amazon delivery driver, a white woman, but a black woman who's a racist towards a Hispanic cop. I don't believe Fox News is protecting her. There's something more to this story.
Bill Malugan said, we know who she is, but we're not identifying her because we haven't spoken to her. Who gives a rip if you've spoken to
her? There's something else going on here, Mark. There's got to be another
30 extra seconds. What do you think's going on?
Well, I honestly don't know, but it can't be that we can't reach her. That can't be it. No, and incidentally, you can find out who she is. I found out who she is in about 5 seconds. Yeah. There's something called the internet, and she's out there. She is a professor, an English professor. She has about 3 different names she goes by. She's on social media, and if this is the same woman, and I have no reason to think it's not, and incidentally, it all fits. She's anti-cop. She's anti-white.
She is legendary in making troublemaking complaints about police.
Oh, you ought to read about this woman.
They know her at headquarters.
But why this isn't in the New York Post or the Washington Examiner, or there's got to be more to this story, but hopefully we'll find out because guess what? She shouldn't be teaching a Cocker Spaniel. Nasty.
Mike Gallagher,
woman.
Ooh, everybody.
It fires me up. Goodbye.
Right, man, love you. We're ready.
Love you
Mike,
too. See you.
Today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.